1211, this is the Wintrust Business Lunch. If you heard us in the last half hour, you heard us talk to a high school English teacher, Liz Schulman, in Evanston. She was talking about the challenges of teaching kids these days. One postscript to that conversation is from a listener who said, King John, excellent conversation. I'm working in K through 12 school. Everything she said is spot on. There are no easy answers. But what you said about parents helping instead of being basically a distraction, texting the kids, making an ass out of themselves at school board meetings on things that have nothing to do with going on in the school, that would be a huge step forward. And we've been asking you to tell us what your favorite words are because Merriam-Webster asked it and then got the conversation started. Two quick notes about that. 815 said, I enjoy hearing and repeating the name Vicky Kukuzian also when I hear her say it on the radio. It's a fun name to say, and she does it well. And somebody else said, I enjoy saying boo-booey. It's two words, yeah, but it's a name. And he is the star of the Northwestern Wildcats, Go Cats. 7:40 tomorrow night, Northwestern basketball, round two of the big dance. All right, let's talk to John Beaver, president of Phase 3 Advisory Services, a registered investment advisory firm and registered principal at Royal Alliance Associates. Where do you want to start, John? What's your 30,000-foot take on the banking situation?
Well, let's start with it's Friday, and it's triple witching Friday and leprechaun. So with all that, I think we're in for volatility. No idea where this thing is going to end. But with the banks, SVP has certainly been in the news. That's the Silicon Valley Bank. And I think from the high level, it's going to have minimal impact on inflation. We might see a slightly slowing economy from this. The Fed's response and the Treasury's response may ultimately lead to a little bit more inflation by providing a little bit more liquidity. But we have a phrase in the market that says the Fed hikes till something breaks. And that's what happened last Friday. They broke something, and they really had painted themselves into a corner. They waited way, 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 way too long to raise rates. They started to, and then they stopped. They started, they stopped. And what they ended up doing was painting themselves into a corner, and now they had to walk over that wet paint, and they're going to have to fix it. But that's okay, because it's, you know, they're going to fix it. They're going to do what they have to do. Nobody's going to get this exactly right. But the bottom line is I think this is doing a little bit of the Fed's work for them. We may see a little bit more reduction in inflation as a result of this situation in the short term. And one indicator that we watch actually puts a calculation of core inflation right at about 3%. So that's where we may be by the end of the year. That's good, but I don't think we'll get there without having some kind of a recession. So this whole no landing theory, I just don't see that in history. I think it's a Fed fantasy. And with that, inflation tends to bottom within a year after a recession. So we just got to get through this year. It's going to continue to be rough, maybe volatile. We may end up the year right where we are right now with the stock market. So that brings in the question, well, what do you do if you don't make any money for a year?
What do you do?
It's not a bad idea to have some money in cash, and bonds are back. I said that last time. And we really need to see where the dust is going to settle on this. So there are some opportunities in the market. We can talk about that in a little bit. But it's okay to have some money on the sidelines. This is not the time to act out of fear. This is time to actually be looking for opportunities. And the opportunities are starting to present themselves, but I think we'll have some better opportunities in the next month.
All right, we'll talk about that after a quick break. But, I just wanted to clarify this point. I think all of the banks and institutions are swimming in the same pool. So while you can say that the fault lies in part with the Fed's failure to act appropriately on interest rates, it was mismanagement at the bank that doomed SVB, right?
It was, and not a completely isolated event, but mostly isolated with the way that they managed. Most banks did not manage themselves the way that SVB did.
It's 12:15. On the Wintrust Business Lunch. Let's see how markets are doing right now. Here's Bob Kessler. It's 12:20 on the Wintrust Business Lunch. John Beaver, financial advisor, Phase 3 Advisory Services, is on. And he was saying a moment ago, this is not a time to panic. Maybe be in some cash and maybe see the opportunity that the current situation presents. Which is what, John? What are you thinking about there?
In the stock market. The market is repricing itself for higher interest rates. That happens every time that rates rise. Investors demand more return on their stocks if they can get more return on their bonds. And the only control that investors have, you know, they can't make companies make more money. All they can do is buy at a cheaper price. And so that's what we're going through, is that repricing with higher interest rates. And now we're repricing because it looks like companies' earnings may also be somewhat impaired this year because of the banking situation. We know that the banks are going to make less money because now they have to pay a little bit more money into this new facility that's been created to help bail out any depositors over $250,000. What that exactly looks like, we don't know yet. Yeah. But the opportunity is clearly in the stock market, and this would be for longer-term investors. Again, short-term investors should not be putting their money in the market unless someone is a short-term trader and they know what they're doing. So this is the situation that creates those opportunities. The volatility is good. And you, no one's going to pick the bottom exactly. If you find the bottom, great for you, wonderful. But no one knows where that bottom is. So it's best to take your money and put it in over several months. And one of those purchases will find the bottom.
I've asked everybody this in the last few days on the Business Lunch, like you anyway. What do you make of bailing out the deposits over $250,000?
That's a tough one. You know, it really is, because how far do we take this? And, you know, Janet Yellen, she was not clear yesterday. The deputy secretary wasn't clear today. Is this going to go across the board or not? So they're being a little bit elusive on this. We don't know how far this goes. I think that's them saying, well, we're going to do what we have to do. But let's think back on this with SVB. It was a failure by bank management to manage the risk of rising interest rates. One of the things that bankers have to do is manage that risk of rising rates, because if they've got a portfolio of treasury bonds that they bought when the bonds were paying 1% and now interest rates are 4%, they're going to lose some money there temporarily. So that's something that bankers do. It was a failure by the regulators to do their job. And again, I think the Fed is partly culpable here in how quickly they raised rates. They raised rates the fastest in history, fastest ever. So it really was a very difficult situation, but most banks have managed their way through this. So, again, I think it's isolated to just SVB and those executives at SVB and a few of the other banks. They'll probably have their pay slashed, maybe even fired. That's good. This is what capitalism is about. I think SVB probably had novice bankers who were great at raising money, but not necessarily managing it. And so if you are a larger depositor, you're a business. You know, if you're under $250,000, no problem. You are covered. But if you're larger, you need to ask yourself, what kind of bank do you want to do business with? You know, do you want one that's really great at raising money, or do you want one that's really good at managing it? And this gets back to that question of, should the government bail out these larger depositors? And if they do that, then they're creating what's called moral hazard. It basically encourages the banks to take more risk because, hey, the depositors will get bailed out. So if they do that, they have to bring in more regulations. And that's the question. Should these regional banks have to abide by the same regulations as the large banks that are technically too big to fail? What the government is basically doing here is they're saying, well, now we're going to take too big to fail down to the regional size banks.
Paul Krugman in the New York Times today was talking a little bit about this. Will this actually make banks more aggressive or engage in riskier business because they know they're going to get bailed out anyway, at least their deposits will? Or will they sort of constrain themselves? And his read on it right now is that they're going to constrain themselves, that they will be more cautious about where their assets are and more protective of the deposits. Do you think that's probable?
I think it's true in the short term because of the crisis, but when we get past the short term, it's going to lead to more risk. It always does. And we've been in this cycle of creating, this is called moral hazard in the industry. We've been in this process of creating moral hazard at least back to 1998, when there was a bailout of a fund called Long-Term Capital Management that was going to result in an $80 billion loss in the banking system. And since then, we seem to have gotten into this situation where the Fed and the government feel it's their responsibility to bail out bad decisions. Bad decisions in capitalism are taken care of by the market. So it's how far do we actually want to push this? And you do create moral hazard the more guarantees you bring into place. And if you have those guarantees, then you have to have more government oversight. So that's back to the question, how much government oversight do we really want in a capitalistic system?
Well, I want enough. I want maybe more than we've got. I mean, we are in an era right now of deregulation of the banks. And I wonder if the pendulum swung too far.
It could be. It could be. And, you know, we will get this resolved, and we'll pay the price one way or the other. We'll either pay the price in some failures, or we'll pay the price in higher regulation and lower returns on deposits. But, you know, it will work itself out.
Do you agree with that? Right. That when the Treasury says that, don't worry, the taxpayers won't bear the burden of this, ultimately taxpayers will. This is another Krugman point today. I'm sure you would concur that, in fact, if banks have to pay higher insurance for failures down the road, they're going to pass those costs along to all of us. We'll get less yield or higher costs to bank, right? Ultimately, it comes down to all of us, doesn't it?
Yes, it does, exactly. And we're all in the same system. So this is where it comes back to, you know, really, I don't think we need to worry about the banking system. It's going to be what it's going to be. They'll get it figured out. It's what does this mean to me as an investor, which is really, we as financial advisors, our job is to take all of this crazy information out there and try and distill it down to, well, what does this mean for my plan? Well, it means that we're probably going to be seeing places that where we can get a higher return than on a bank deposit, you know, and that might be treasury bonds. It might be that we're going to have to be willing to lock up more money in CDs than to have it in the short-term savings account or money market account. But ultimately, these situations, as I said at the beginning, they create opportunities for those investors that are willing to look beyond the current crisis and look down the road where we're going.
I like your note to my producer, Pete. Point 15 of a multi-page document to us today said, 2 years from now, this will all just be a bad dream. And I like the sound of that, too. John Beaver from Phase 3 Advisory Services. Okay, John, thanks for your thoughts today. We always appreciate it.
You're welcome. Happy St. Patrick's Day.
Yeah, you too. WGN Radio News comes your way next.